disintegrating.
Hey.
World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey. Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get down here today, and to be honest with you, I don't have any idea which direction I'm going. I just said in the pre-show there before we got rolling that isn't it amazing how many of the conspiracy theories that we've been believing have come true? Huh? Dane Whittington, I'll pull that up here in the morning. Dane Whittington with geoengineering.com, I think it is. Pull that up, Spencer, real quick. Number one, I'm not going to play it yet. Number one, pull it up, but don't play it yet. Dane Whittington, massive winter storm, completely engineered. And I've got some videos of, it's not even snow. I'm going to show you that here in a second. You ought to text somebody right now, tell them to tune into the ultimate conspiracy theorist. Because of some of the stuff, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. And listen, let us never lose sight of the fact, friends. It's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. Divide and conquer. It's not black versus white. It's not Christianity versus Islam. It's not male versus female. It is Republican. It is not any of that, friends. It is not any of it. It's all distractions. And everything that you're watching going on in Minnesota right now is they're hyping up the shooting because they're trying to bury their corruption. Tell me you get that. There have been billions of dollars that have disappeared in Minnesota, and all the attention is on this poor guy who got shot. I'm not going to camp on that today. Okay, I'm not. But I got some stuff. This all is important, and it all matters. I want to start off with this. Pull up number two. And I've been screaming this for a long time. Well, I haven't been screaming, maybe not a long time. Are Christians out there? Come on now. Majority of Christians, whether it be Catholics, whatever it be, Protestant, doesn't matter. How many people, in this queue right here, how many of us pray daily for President Trump? The Bible says what? That we're to pray for those in authority. I have to confess to you, I don't. And remember this, whether we like it or not, the Bible says God raises up kings and sets them down. Donald Trump is president of the United States because God put him there. Now, we don't know whether it's for good or for bad, do we? We don't know. But there ain't no doubt God put him there. And I got some stuff here that's going to curl your toes when we get to it. But before we do that, this is pretty powerful. Deep prayer for President Trump. And I just would like all of us to... Just get into a moment. Ask yourself this. Do you pray for the guy? Really pray for the guy? Or do you hate him so much? Does the Bible say pray for only for those leaders that you love? Do you pray for the conversion of Donald Trump? Do you pray for the conversion of Barron Trump, who maybe would be able to influence his dad? Huh? Why are all of our... what's the word I'm looking for? Our experts, all of the media experts, why are they not coming at it from a Christian perspective? Why don't they ever mention Christianity in any of their broadcasts? I don't care who it would be. Why don't they ever mention it? Why do we act like America lives in a void, in a vacuum where there is no God and there is no Jesus Christ? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? I got so many things here to show you today. But I just feel led by the Lord. Maybe you can put it at 1.5 speed. that we would all just gather together here in this deep prayer for our president. And I wonder how many of you out there would commit today to pray for him, pray for wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to try to take him out again. They're going to try to take him out again. Yesterday, supposedly, he went up and spoke with Tim. And folks, you guys remember that a year ago, nobody ever heard of Tim Walz? Nobody ever heard of him. And now he is front and center. Did God put him front and center? Did Satan put him front and center? Is it amazing that this guy that nobody knew about 6, 7, 8 a year ago, now all of a sudden, all of America's focusing on him and what's going on in his state and hiding the fact that at least $8 billion has disappeared under his watch. And we're allowing him to be on the offense, complaining about this guy who was killed. And they're on offense, 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 because that's the way the enemy plays. The enemy never plays defense. So all the media is on the guy, poor guy that got shot. Shows up at a rally with a gun, and then surprised to get shot. I'm not going to take a position on that. Right to bear, keeping bare arms is absolute. What type of guy would show up at a rally, an anti-American rally, with a gun, and then confront police? Something's not right here. Okay, so deep prayer for President Trump. I don't know. I've heard this guy. I can't remember his name. But I really think he's right on. Can you put it at 1.5 speed? And that's all of us. When he begins to pray, which he will here in a second, let's just all enter into an attitude of prayer with him. Go ahead, Spence.
Calling all the sincere and all the truthful believers around the world to pray with me for President Trump. People around the world who don't know each other have received the exact same message, that there is a plot to kill President Trump. Now, we all know that. We know that his enemies want to destroy him. But listen carefully. When people, thousands or even tens of thousands of miles apart, who don't know each other, who are not connected on the internet or social media, who are completely separate from one another, are receiving the exact same warning at the exact same time about the exact same person, then you know that God is speaking. He is warning us and he's calling us to rise up in powerful prayer for President Trump. We can be fools and idiots who ignore this and just keep scrolling, and you know, or we can be true warriors who hear the call from on high and who realize we are indeed in a war. And what President Trump is doing is completely abolishing the agenda, the structures, the plans, the networks of the satanic elites worldwide. He is our greatest threat at this moment. So guys, please forward this video. I'm going to pray here and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. If you're not used to this, that's fine. But we need to stop being fools who ignore the important warnings and open our eyes. I am right now with my family. I am packing to move to California because God is calling us there. I'm dropping everything because I've been hearing these messages from several people. And just now I read from yet somebody else in Florida who said God gave me an extremely alarming dream. And she told me what it's about. I'm like, this is very serious. This is very real. So I'm dropping everything to make this video. That's why I have none of my lights on. I'm in my working clothes. But I want to pray. And I want to call you to pray with me. So Father, I just ask you that you would pour out your fire upon the enemies of justice, the enemies of truth, the enemies of humanity, the enemies of all that is good. I ask you, Father, to pour out your judgment upon the bigots in the earth who are doing everything they can to destroy your creation, to destroy your people, your children around the world, to destroy everything that brings forth life. Father, I ask you that you pour out your fire, that judgment would come upon those who are trying now to kill President Trump. I pray, Father, that you remove everything that is empowering them, that you remove everything that is enabling them. And I pray that you release your fire, that they would be consumed, Lord. Father, I pray that not President Trump would be removed from the earth. I pray, Lord, that you would send forth the angel of death to destroy those who seek to murder your children in the earth. I pray, Father, that you release your fire and your judgment to remove from this life the very people who are plotting to kill President Trump, those who murder children and sacrifice them to Satan, those who rape children, those who torture children, those who go into the deepest realms of darkness to commit acts that are not even comprehensible, that cannot even be expressed in words. Father, enough is enough. I pray that you put an end to the endless, an end to the indescribable evil that has been going on in this world. And that President Trump is busy putting an end to the poisoning of the food, the poisoning of our minds through education, the lies of the media, the corruption in the governments, the wars, the mass slaughter. Father, there's so much evil in this world. And the wicked want to protect it. They want to continue it. They want to kill Trump because he's putting an end to all of it. So, Father, I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say no. No, President Trump, Donald J. Trump will not be assassinated. He will not be killed. He will not be removed. But the ones who are plotting against him, they will be judged by the Most High God. Father, let it be so. Father, I declare blessing over President Trump and Melania and over all their beloved ones. I declare blessing, Father, your goodness, your mercy upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Father, I pray that you remove the blindfold from America, where the people are still so mind-controlled that they can't even see what you are doing. That they don't even understand how this nation is being liberated by you. How you are using an imperfect but a very passionate and pure vessel to execute your judgment over evil and to bring deliverance to this nation and the world. Father, I pray that you open the eyes of humanity, that the truth would come forth. Father, let your voice be heard in our heart, in our mind, in our life, in the media, and let the truth break forth as never before. Father, let your will be done with President Trump. Let all the plans of the enemy be cancelled. Let those who serve Satan, let them truly come under your full and unrestrained judgment, Father, both in America as worldwide. Let the end come to the rule of evil. Let the end come to those who serve darkness. Let the end come, Father, to those who commit crimes too incredible to describe. Let the end come, Lord, and let healing flow over all of humanity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare your blessing, your protection, your glory over President Trump and all his beloved ones and all the people who truly serve him. Let your will be done in America and in the world, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory and yours is all the power, Father, now and forevermore. Amen.
Okay, amen. That's my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What if we prayed that every day? Do we? How many Christians do you think that, look, I understand. How many Christians do you think are praying against Donald Trump? A house divided against itself cannot stand. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people, I can name them. You want me to run down a list? There are people who are not watching this show anymore because they hate Trump so much. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody gives me a thumbs up. And if it sounds at all like we're trying to support President Trump, they're not. I could rattle off 15 right now. When the Bible says to pray for those in authority, is he in authority? Yeah. Are you praying for him? No, I'm not. I don't do it regularly. I don't. I'm disobedient. I want to move on, man. I got some. Oh, my God. What's that? Reads, my wife, my love of my life, who will be 70 years old here tomorrow, just said, read Psalm 70. And apply it to our nation. Can you pull that up there? I love my wife. I love you, honey. Psalm 70. And apply it to our nation. How long is it? Let me see how long it is. How much time? Oh, it's very short. Very short. Who wants to declare? I can do this. Who wants to declare this for us? So, Coach, I'd love to read this psalm, Coach.
I'll read it.
Ohio Brett, go for it, Brett. Go, Brett.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul.
Amen.
Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt.
Amen.
Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha.
Uh-huh.
Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Consume your enemies, Lord. Consume them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thanks, Brett. Thanks. Thanks for being out. We got a lot. I got a lot to talk about here today. Bear with me, okay? Bear with me. Uh-oh. I'm going to let me Let me give you a little taste here. I'll come back to this. Pull up number three. I'm coming back. Don't go away. Pull up number three. I went out yesterday. Oh, that's not it. That's not the one I want. Hang on. Look at my notes. Let me look here. It says snow burns. I sent that to you, didn't I, Spencer? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's it, folks. Coach Dave went out yesterday. We got about this. I would guess 13 inches snow. I went out and I filled a cup of snow, and I'm gonna show you a cup of snow. I got a cigarette lighter, and it doesn't even melt. Go ahead and play it. Is there no video there? Ah! Trust me. I don't want to get bogged down. I'll show you tomorrow. It didn't even burn. It didn't even melt. That's what it looks like. I know why I didn't film it. That's what it looks like after I tried to burn it. It's a styrofoam cup with snow, and I used a cigarette lighter. And that's what I got. No water. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hang on. Let me gather myself here. Let's get rid of that. Let's go back here. Stay with me. I got some good stuff. Okay. Look, this weekend, pull up Ray LeBlanc's event. It says King Jesus event. That's it. Now, look, Ray is piggybacking off of another event. He's piggybacking off of a Men of Iron conference. I'm going to show you that. This is not going on this weekend. I'm sorry. February 27th. It's a month out. And we'd love to have some of you come and join us. Although, Ray, this one sold out. Is that right, Ray?
Yeah. I've already got about 38 people. And it's a home, you know, so it's not a lot of room there. It's not like an auditorium. So
he's rented a building where everybody can sleep there. And 38 people, and it's sold out. And there's a... I'm going somewhere, okay? This is on the 27th, okay? And it's sold out. Some of us are going to drive up there. If you're interested in going, let me know. But at the same time, we have a pull the other one up, Spencer. Sorry, Ray, didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean, if you're in any space, Men of Iron, the day before in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Do I have it right, Ray?
The day after.
In your event, Ray, is that right? Men of Iron.
Our best Friday, that one's for men, Saturday. Mine's
Friday. So the
Friday.
Men of Iron is Friday.
No, Saturday.
Saturday. Yours is Friday.
Right.
Ray's, and then Men of Iron. And just scroll down there a little bit, Men of Iron Conference. Look, speakers, I like it because I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you this. Matt Truella ain't a Jesus loves everybody kind of preacher, okay? Huh? If you want to come and hear how wonderful you are and all that stuff, don't come. The other speaker, David Roth, same thing. He's a Matt Truella clone. And scrolling down, why me? And I ain't no Jesus loves everybody. Come here and let me give you a big hug. I'm not one of those guys either, right? So this is the Men of Iron Conference. That is taking place on Friday, right, Ray? Friday, I got
no,
that one
Saturday
right?
In Green Bay.
I'm so screwed up, man. I'm so screwed up. Ray's conference is Friday. Men of Iron is Saturday. Ray, how far apart are those?
40 minutes drive.
40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
40 minutes. We're carpooling. We're going up. We're carpooling, okay? So put that in the chat. I don't know how you put that stuff in the chat. I'm heading someplace today. Now, please don't take this wrong, although you probably will. I did some scrolling yesterday. Where am I? Oh, Lord. I did some scrolling yesterday on Facebook. Where is it? Anyway. For men's conferences. Scroll down. There's all kinds of men's conferences. And you know what they all are? Fluffy, feel good, who are you to judge, love your wife, love your family. By the way, they're money makers, truth be told. And what is a clarion call that we're going to have to give to men, real men of God? I can't believe I can't find this. I'm sorry. Pull up. Oh, is that it? Yeah, pull up number 10. No, that's not it. I don't think. Pull it up. This is where the men of iron. Okay, let me gather myself here, okay? Pull up number 8. No, oh, I got so much to give you. Let me go. Okay, now, friends, I'm going to say this again. Get ready. Put this at 1.5 speed. We've heard of the great replacement theology, right? The great replacement being what? Well, it's always about Israel. It's always about, no. The great replacement theology that's going on is the replacement of the white Christian male. It's happening right in front of us. I can't believe that Tucker made this video. Proof of the great replacement. It's no longer a theory, and it's not about Jews in Israel. That's not what's going on, friends. It's the replacement of the white Christian male in America. Now, this thing's about 10 minutes. I'm going to play it at 1.5. We ought to pray for Tucker. They're going to come after this guy next. Go ahead and play this. Remember, replacement theology. Hey, friends, come on. What are they trying to do in Minnesota? Somebody help me out here. What are they trying to do in Minnesota? Somebody answer me.
Replace what Christians.
Pardon me?
Replace white and Christian folks.
Well, I'll be done. They're trying to anybody see that other than me? Does anybody see that other than me? That the federal government, that the government, Tim, whatever his name, Walls, is doing everything he can to advance Islam, Mohammedism, whatever, Somaliism, doing everything he can. Because why? The war in America is on the white Christian male. Sorry if that makes you nervous. But until we know what's going on, we're not going to be able to fight back. Huh? Go ahead and play that. Put it at 1.5 speed. This is 10 minutes, so it's going to take us about 7 minutes. But listen to what Tucker says. Go ahead.
Let's talk about what exactly is going on in the United States and why it's led to the battles in, say, Minneapolis. What's happening in the United States is a wholesale change of who lives here. Total demographic change. Now, some have called this replacement. And the question is it really replacement? So we thought we would look it up. If you were someone following along at home trying to figure out, what is everyone so mad about? What is this great replacement theory? You might go, as almost everybody does, first to Google and just type in great replacement theory.
Freeze
AI
it, freeze
would
it,
come
freeze
up
it,
with.
Freeze it. Freeze it. Here's the point I'll try to connect this for you, okay? Do you think at the Men of Iron Conference, not that I love Men of Iron, at all the conferences across America, I'm going to show you here, do you think they're talking about this stuff? Do you think of all these men's conferences that are going on, a plethora of them, do you think any of them are talking about what the real issue is? Go ahead.
The following result. This is hot off Google AI. Here's what it says if you look up Great Replacement Theory on Google. We're quoting. The great replacement theory is a debunked, meaning untrue, far right, meaning Nazi, white nationalist, meaning racist, conspiracy, claiming that white populations, particularly in Europe and the U.S., are being deliberately replaced by non-white immigrants and minorities, often orchestrated by replacist elites, leading to demographic shifts and cultural erosion, fueling extremist violence and anti-immigrant sentiment. That's one sentence, by the way, a run-on sentence, but it is AI. And it's quite a sentence. And it tells you point blank, this is not true. Anyone who believes in it is deranged and is stoking violence simply by believing in it. And it goes on to explain how this works. The theory, quote, posits that mass migration, declining white birth rates, and political agendas by elites are intentionally replacing white populations. It has inspired numerous acts of mass murder, violence, with perpetrators often citing this theory. Research shows that endorsers of the great replacement theory often hold antisocial traits, authoritarian views.
Slow it down. Put it at 1.2, because he's going to give you some stats here, okay? Huh? Put it at 1.25. Go ahead.
And negative attitudes toward minorities and immigrants. In other words, once again, believing that the population of this or any other country is being manipulated by people in power and the people who are born here are being replaced by people who weren't, believing that is not only wrong, It's misinformation. It's been debunked. It's also dangerous. You can kill people by believing that. Well, how does that work exactly? It doesn't sound like a cool, objective analysis of the theory of replacement. It sounds instead like, well, a political screed, but maybe even more than that, it sounds like an article of religious faith. You're not allowed to believe this. Only bad people believe it. It's apostasy. It could lead to death believing that. And that seemed a little emotional for us. So we decided instead to consult the science because, obviously, we believe the science. And the science, as always, begins with numbers, things that are quantifiable, that are measurable. And one of the ways we know the truth about who lives here is through the census taken every 10 years. It's in the Constitution. And that provides us not precise numbers, but a pretty accurate general picture most of the time and certainly over time of who lives here. So let's start, because it's an easy and obvious place to start, the beginning of the post-war era, peak America.
Hang on. Come on now. Pilgrims, founding of America, 1776. White Christian men did it. Then they brought over some blacks as slaves. I understand. The Indians. I get all that. But this was a white Christian nation. Now, that's not racist. That's fact. Okay? Watch what's happened. The ultimate replacement theology. Go ahead.
1950, the first post-war census. And I think everyone would agree, whether they're right or wrong, that this is a period remembered as the best time in America, 1950.
Hang on a minute.
The United States is an industrial power.
Hang on, Spencer. It's, how many white men died in Vietnam? How many white men died in Korea? How many white men died in the Second World War? How many white men died in Normandy Beach? You with me, folks? Huh? You with me? Go ahead. Keep going.
The leader of the West, if not really the world. And America domestically is pretty harmonious, thriving, happy. Let's take a look at who lived in America in 1950. And let's do that by taking a closer look at the population of the top six cities, which at the time were, and this tells you a lot right here, New York was number one, Chicago was number two, Philadelphia was number three, Los Angeles number four, Detroit number five, Baltimore number six. Kind of hard to imagine, but in 1950, not that long ago, within living memory, those were the numbers. So here's what they were. The biggest city in the United States then and now is New York City. New York City in 1950 was 90% white. 71 million New Yorkers out of 7.9 million were white. Chicago in 1950 was 86% white. Philadelphia, over 80%. Los Angeles, 94% white. 94% white, that's almost an ethnostate, actually, at that point. Detroit, Michigan, home of Ford, GM, and Chrysler, 84% white. Baltimore, steel and shipping capital of the mid-Atlantic, 76% white. That was 1950. You know people who were alive in 1950. Maybe you were. Here are the numbers today. Baltimore, 27% white. Detroit, about 10% white, down from 84. Los Angeles, again, 94%, about 37% white down. Philadelphia, 36%. Chicago, less than 30%. And New York City, again, the biggest city in the country, is now around 30% white, down from 90% in 1950. So you think to yourself, well, maybe these cities have just shrunk, and a lot of them have. Baltimore, Detroit, Philadelphia, Chicago, all much smaller than they were. What's interesting is that New York is bigger than it was, but a million people more live in New York than they did in 1950, and yet the proportion of whites has declined.
Hang on,
well,
hear
from
that?
90% to
a million more people live there, and fewer of them are white. Now stop a minute, because see, some of you guys have been so programmed, you think I'm talking about race. I'm not talking about race. Talking about religion, Christian white men, folks. Christian white men. Hey, Vinny, I'm not talking about blacks. I be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. This ain't about race. It's about religion. It's about the destruction of Christian America. Keep going.
30, but so is the absolute number. New York has lost about 4 million.
What about abortion? How many were killed through abortion? Huh? White babies killed through abortion. Go ahead.
White people, even as it gained a million people in population. What is that? Now, in some of these cities, there are economic reasons for this, right? A lot of African Americans moved up from the South to work at the auto plants in Detroit, to work at the harbor, at the shipyards, a steel plant in Baltimore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But not all of it. And in New York City, almost all the demographic change is the result of immigration. And that began in 1965, which is definitely within living memory of a lot of people watching this right now. So that's another and very long way of saying the Great Replacement is not only real, it's the realest thing there is, and it's provably true. So why would they go out of their way to tell you?
Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. Folks, the assault is on, I hate to say it, white Christian America. Hey. Why are they bringing all these non-Christians over from Somalia? Huh? Why aren't we importing them from Ireland, Britain? Serious stuff. Serious stuff. Hey, Spencer, pull that back up there. Where was it? What did you just have on the screen? It was good. Look at this, folks. I'm going to open it up. America, land of the dying. Alarming study shows U.S. killing its own population. How about white replacement? I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to put it in the chat. White people aren't having babies. Hey, I remember sitting in World Harvest Church 15, 20 years ago. Pastor Rod Parsley stood in the pulpit and chastised people for having children that they couldn't afford. Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And there's a Christian leader standing on there telling people, stop having babies. You can't afford them. That's crept into the American culture and the American society. And who's not having babies? Yep. You know who isn't, right? So there it is. There it is, folks. What's going on in Minnesota? Hey, we got some Minnesota listeners up there. How many of you guys, when you think of Minnesota, think white? Is there a whiter place in the world than Minneapolis, Minnesota? Or we would have thought. Huh? I would have thought, right? And what are they doing? Look how they are defending. Yeah, Paul, Maine. You know, it's happening in Maine too, though, right? If you stand up and speak up against it, it's okay for blacks, it's okay for Hispanics, it's okay for Muslims to want to expand their population. Whites, oh no, whites, you're not allowed. See, some of you are nervous right now because you think I'm sounding racist. You've been so damn programmed that you think like the world. Real quickly, hang on, Lorraine, I'll get you right there. Hey, Spencer, Google for me real quickly. What percentage of America Christian? To 69%. Pew Research says 40% Protestant, 19% Catholic. 69%. And we know a lot of them aren't really Christians. 2024, 65% identify as a Christian. Identify. But you know this, if you walk down the street and you bumped into somebody and you ask them what religion they were, they would tell you Christian, but they ain't Christian. They're not Christian. It's like being American, or they were born Italian, or, well, oh yeah, I'm Christian, meaning I was born into a Christian family. But there's no Christianity in America. Why? Because they ripped it right out of our schools. Give us your money, and we're going to teach atheism to your children. How do I know that? Hang on. Pull up for me number seven. Humanist Manifesto. When was this written? Keep on going. 1933. The time has come for widespread recognition of radical change in religious beliefs throughout the modern world. The time has passed for, in other words, we got to get rid of religion. Scroll on down. 1933. Keep going down, Spencer. What are their goals? Keep going. Whoa. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Hey, friends, do your kids, are they teaching that in your school? Or are they teaching that God made them? Humanism believes that man is part of nature and that he's emerged as a result of continuous process, evolution. Are they teaching that in your school? Or are they teaching Christianity? Third, holding an organic view of life, humanists find that the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected. Are they teaching that in school, or are they teaching Christianity in school? Humanism recognizes man's religious culture and civilization as clearly depicted by anthropology and history are the product of gradual development due to his interaction with his natural environment. Human, huh? Folks, this is it. Right here it is. And when's the last time, Denny, sorry out there, when's the last time you've ever heard a black guy called racist? When's the last time you ever heard a Muslim called racist? Why is it only white guys who are racist? Because it's a deep, deep, dark programming that's going on, friends. When's the last time you heard a Chinese guy called him racist? I'm not nearly finished, but I'll shut up. Lauren, then Neil, go ahead.
Good morning.
Do you think I'm racist now? Think I'm racist? Because see, you've been programmed. See, I'm a white supremacist. If I want to defend my culture, I'm a white supremacist. Never heard of a black supremacist, an Asian supremacist? Ever heard of that? No. Just a white supremacist. Go ahead,
but the thing is that they stand up there, and you got white guys saying white supremacy, right?
Yeah.
And okay, but just follow me for a minute, because you know I'm a little bit. The thing is they're taking the definition and they're twisting it, and they're using what we know as the definition, and there's a part B, C, D, and E, and that's they're speaking their own language using those definitions, just like with white supremacy. White supremacy, according to this, the far wackadoodle lane, right? Those people are literally anybody who is a capitalist, anybody who's a parent, anybody who is a who owns any property, who owns anything. So if you're black, you are considered a white supremacist because you can pass down inheritance. They want to abolish it. That's the whole problem. It's not understanding the definitions of their vocabulary. That's they right. call us white brown shirts because we voted for Trump. You know, so. So
but,
it's
but, Lauren, at the same time, they'll make fun of a black who voted for a Republican, right?
Exactly. Black, so if you vote Republican, right? Look at the Hodge, you know, the Hodge twins, like, you know, and all the death threats that they get, you know, and they're not now, you know, now they're not black. Well, they're black. Last time I checked, they're black, you know, so, you know,
Spencer,
and it's
real
and
quickly. Look up Anglo-Saxon, pull that up. Go ahead, Lauren.
You know, but see, the thing is, and then they made white women hate white men. You know, and they took away why I had an abortion besides all the other crazy stuff that was going on. My best friend looked at me and told me at the time, you can't support yourself and you can't support that baby. You have to have an abortion. How are you going to do it?
Kill it.
You know, and they tried to do that to me when I got pregnant with Hope, and I told them all they could go a fly kite the Italian way.
All right,
so Southside Italian.
I'm going to move on. I get it. Anglo-Saxons, folks. Anglo-Saxon. Germanic tribes. Angles, Saxons, Jutes. Who migrated to Britain after the Romans left, forming kingdoms, shaping English culture, language, laws, literature from the 5th to 11th century until the Norman conquest. They established the foundations of England, transitioning from paganism to Christianity, and created a distinct society with a warrior farmer culture developing into early English Anglo-Saxon, and we're ashamed of it. Anglo-Saxons built the free world, folks. Anglo-Saxons. Anglo-Saxon. Say, oh, yeah, Coach, what about racism and slavery? Huh? What about that? Yeah. Who ended it? How many white men died in the Civil War to end slavery? Neil, come on in.
Over 20 years ago,
I had a... Hang on. Folks, I'm just trying to break through your programming. Some of it makes you nervous because you've been so damn indoctrinated. Go ahead, Neil.
Over 20 years ago, I had a Catholic priest tell me that the Catholic Church will rise again, will be on top in this country, but they will be speaking Spanish.
Oh. It's happening, isn't it, bud? Huh? Oh, boy. Why would a nation of Christians import non-Christians? Who is behind? See, diversity is not our greatest strength. It's a lie. Unity. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing by bringing all these spiritual mutts into America. Hey, it's spiritual. At the heart of it is spiritual. The folks going into Minnesota aren't Christian. And who's inviting them? The left? Christians on the left? Point number six. Yeah, okay. Because, hey, we need more of this. Can you believe the crap that we're Christian? Hey, Christians are permitting to be taught to their children. Can you believe it? Christians, me, paying taxes to my school to teach our children anti-American stuff. You know I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead and play this.
Work for me. I don't work for you. You have a duty. We are entrusting our children to you. We teach our children morals, values, when they grow up to commit crimes and end up in prison and kill a police officer. It's our fault? No, it's your fault. You're emotionally abusing our children and mentally abusing them. You're demoralizing them by teaching them communist values. This is still America, ma'am. And as long as I'm standing here on this good ground earth of God, I will fight. And I'm not, this is not the last of me you will see. I'm retired.
Freeze a minute.
I have nothing else better to do.
Freeze it a minute. Hey, Ray, don't take this wrong. Don't anybody take this wrong. Are you going to hear this at the men's conferences this weekend? You going to hear this at men's conferences this weekend? Go ahead.
We can do it peacefully, or we can take it to the highest court, because you know and I know I'm not the only parent fighting this all across America right now. Schools are trying to poison our children's minds, teaching them about things that they have no right to be taught in school.
So normally, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to just give you just a feedback for a moment. I have no problem having a peaceful discussion. This is not a peaceful discussion.
No, that's your opinion. See, here we go again. This is peaceful. To me, this is peaceful.
Well,
I'm not burning, looting, and murdering. This is peaceful.
No, I did not accuse you of that, but I don't have a problem having a conversation with you, a peaceful conversation, which is this is not.
$6.95 per child in the middle school to buy a curriculum from readtome.org that wasn't even approved by the Board of Ed. The administrators took it upon themselves to buy these books with taxpayer dollars while COVID is going on. How many families are struggling to pay their mortgages? Listen, by all means, you want to teach kids these things, fine. Don't do it on my dollar. Don't infringe on my religious beliefs. Don't infringe. Do you know who makes up the majority of this district? Children from police officers' families. Blues. Back the blue children. Do you know what these children feel like when they come home? Have you spoken to them? No. You're silencing them. This whole cancel culture. You're silencing the children. Where are their rights? They have no rights. Because if they don't believe in the indoctrination, the demonic, twisted, sneaky, vile acts and education, if you call it that, that you're teaching our children, they don't agree with that. They're either homophobic, they're part of a cult, they're racist. What's racist? Who defines racist? Why? Because I'm, do you know what race I am? Do you? You don't. You don't even have an idea. I could be black, I could be white, I could be Asian, you don't know. Who are you to determine that? Who is anyone to determine that? You know what? Children in the school system, children like other children, they don't look at color. Black and white children, Hispanic children, you know why they get along? Because they don't look at each other's color. So you're the racist.
This is the kind of active parent.
Boom! Boom! Huh? Let me pull something else up. Pull up left versus right in the Bible. Then I'm going to open it up. Come on in here. I bet you guys didn't know this. I bet you didn't know this. During the never-ending promotion of fake news by the evil and dishonest media, a short Bible study might be appropriate. Remember what Jesus taught? Matthew 25:20-33. Goats on the left, sheep on the right. Folks, think politically here. Think politically here. The goats are on the left. The sheep are on the right. Jesus also told Peter that if they wanted to catch fish, do it from the right side of the boat. What? Oh, yeah, they obeyed. And what does it say? Jesus said in John 21:6, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And they did. They were unable to haul the net in because it was a large number of fish. Did you know that the Bible is the origin of left versus right? Have you wondered why it is that conservatives are called right and liberals are called the left? A verse in the Bible makes it very clear. Ecclesiastes 10:2 says, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. It's Jesus against the devil. Friends, I'm going to say it again. It's Jesus against the devil. And they're telling us, who are you to judge? Be tolerant and diverse. It's our greatest strength. What do you think the percentage is of people in Minneapolis who are cheering on the cops? What do you think the percentage is? I'd guess 70%, 80%. They want their freaking communities cleaned up. But the communists, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll say it. If showing up in the streets didn't matter, why did the left do it? Where are the rights? Where are the people on the right showing up in the streets? Where are they? Evidently, showing up in the streets matters. All right, I'm going to show. We only got 12 minutes. Come on in. Come on in. Think I'm a racist? Huh? Programmed honk seals. Honk, 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 honk. And so they determine who you can criticize and who you can't. Ridicule. And so Christians have shut their mouths and we get men's conferences that are all about fluffy, fluffy, feel good. Spencer, see if you can Google. Hey, Ray, I'm not talking about men of iron. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm not talking about that. Men's conferences. Huh? Just plug in men's conferences. 2026. Ooh, ignite men. Be strong men. Hey, folks, do you suppose, pull up the Be Strong Men's Conference. I don't know anything about it. Do you suppose they're going to be telling men to get out on the streets and defend the culture and defend society? You think that, are they going to be teaching that at that men's conference? I don't know why it won't light up. I'm feeling this stuff so deep. Oh, here it is. Be strong. I don't know anything about it, okay? What are they going to talk about? Let's see. What are they going to talk about? Keep going. Keep going. What are they going to talk about? I don't know these people. I'm not. Hang on. The world's hostile towards Christianity. In John 15, Jesus told it would happen. Thankfully, this type of countercultural faithful response is evident throughout the Bible. During this Be Strong conference, we're going to focus on Daniel as our example of faithfulness amidst hostility. See, look, I'm going to tell you, I don't know this, but ain't none of these guys ever been out on the streets like Matt Tuella. Ain't not a one of them ever been out there. No. Go back, see if we can find another men's conference. See if we're in another one. Ignite. Forming men. The fight for the family in the future. Let's see what they're going to be talking about. Forming men. I don't know these guys. The journey. Wake up. See, now, here's a good thing. There is an awakening coming on in the heart of men, but they don't know what the hell to do. They don't know what to do. They ain't never done nothing. They never went to a school board meeting. They never went outside of an abortion clinic. They never showed up and stood up for Christ, ever. So they don't know what to do. Promise keepers. Oh, don't get me going on promise keepers. I was a big promise keeper. It's all about feeling good and loving your wife and your family. All of it important. Scroll on down. Men's conference. You want to go to a men's conference? Oh, let's go to the No Regrets Men's Conference. Let's see what's going on there. What are they talking about? Surrender. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. What the hell does that mean, dude? You want to stop abortion? Does it mean that? Huh? Oh, no. Well, go back to the other one, right? Whoa. Wait a minute. They have world-class speakers. Going down there. World-class speakers. Going back. Who are these world-class speakers? I don't know any of those world-class speakers. I wonder what they're going to teach on. Wonder what they're going to teach. Wow. Well, let's go. No regrets, men's conference. No regrets. Okay, let's go back and find another men's conference here. What's the next one there? Ray, I'm not making fun of you. I know you understand that. Ooh, 1613 conference. Let's go to that one. What is real faith forged in the real world? Ooh, it's in Cincinnati. Wow. I bet you they got some football stars. Just guessing. Let's see. Who they got coming in there? Oh, there's a football star. Oh, yeah, there's a football star right there. See who the full speakers are. Any of those guys out there look like they're ready to go? Ooh, Jody Martin, pastor and author. Wesley Huff, apologetics in Canada. Brian Dawkins, former football player. Oh, okay, go ahead. Joel Lovell, Warrior Poets Society. Nick Friedis, making the argument. Joel Salatin, America's lunatic farmer. Anthony Munoz, former, he's a good guy, I know Anthony. Tento Peranto, Benghazi hero. Anybody see what I'm seeing? Anybody see what I'm seeing? It's Jeff Tiggs. I don't know Jeff Tiggs. I don't know. Are any of these guys out on the street trying to stop abortion? Any of them? Any of these guys? Is this going to teach us how to go to school board meetings and advance the kingdom of God in our schools? Any of this? Come on in, Ray. I support you, Ray. I'm not making fun of you. You know that, right? I'm not making fun of you.
Oh, absolutely. You know what we need is to steal the playbook of our enemy. There's an interview with James O'Keefe and Megyn Kelly. They put James O'Keefe on the run. They had spotters all 30 miles outside of Minnesota. These people are organized and effective. They ran him out from three hotels. They followed him all over the place.
Yep.
So, you know, we go to these leadership conferences to learn how to do what. These people are doing the what.
That's right.
We need, hey, Ray, we need to be strong.
I can tell you this. I promise you this. I'm not being sounds critical. Ain't none of them taking people to the streets at these men's conferences. Here's what I learned. I learned this from Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas. When you go to a men's conference, they do a teaching, and then you go to the street. And you practice it. They don't do this. Johnny.
Good morning, Coach. I see us Christian people, those followers of Jesus of us, we just keep on keeping on. Because let us not forget about what you've been doing, Coach. There's no way to prove it, but we know that spiritual warfare exists.
Amen.
You went up to the cities, and what did you do when you went there? You staked, and you prayed. And the enemy doesn't like that. And I'm pretty sure those people in Texas that came up with that idea of staking, if you read the instructions on how to stake, it specifically talks about that when you do it, you the likeliness of you seeing an uproar will be more likely than not. So what does it tell you to do? It tells you to go back there again and stake again.
Amen.
Okay, there's no way to prove for us because we're who we are, but we know what the scriptures tell us and we know what spiritual warfare is. You've been to St. Louis, you've been to the mouth of the Mississippi and down to the bottom in the Gulf of America as well. Look at the Georgia Guidestones. Look what you guys did over there. Okay. So maybe we need to go back to the Twin Cities and we need to stake again because they're just lighting fires everywhere. It's spiritual. And that's what the enemy's having them do.
So, that's what so I Johnny, think. I'm looking right now. Randy just posted in the chat. This is what I feel. Okay. Men's conferences, 95% of them led by sissy pastors, or I would say this, men who've never, ever stepped out into the streets. 5% are led by remnant pastors. Matt Tuella. I'll go listen to Matt Tuella. The challenge to Christian men is find the lion leaders and skip the lamb leaders. Randy. That is a boom. That is a boom. Huh? Test your metal. Go ask your pastor. Hey, pastor, how come we're not going to school board meetings? Hey, pastor, how come we're not out in the streets fighting against abortion? Hey, pastor, see what he says. See, it's easy. I'm sorry. It's easy to say, well, the end times are here because then you don't have to do anything. That's the way I read it. I still have any friends left. Got 3 minutes. Somebody want to, by the way, you want to do some Googling? I was trying to find, hey, Spencer, Google while I talk here a minute. You want to try to find some video of Obama talking about deporting illegals? It's all over the freaking internet, folks. Obama talking, not that one. Just Google Obama talking about Obama deported more non-citizens than Trump. Huh? Yeah, he did. We're played like friggin' fools. He did. I wanted to see him talking about it, that lying sack of whatever. No, video. Look for a video. Video of Trump. No, a video of Obama. Put up video of Obama against immigration.
Illegal immigration.
Yeah. There it is. Right there. Number two. Play that one real quick. Number two. Down at the bottom. No, not that one. Go back. That one right there. Right there.
There is bipartisan hope of getting it done. This year, the Senate passed an immigration reform bill by a wide bipartisan majority, and it addresses the key issues that need to be addressed.
Freeze that! Freeze it! Somebody help me out. The lady in red, isn't she now? This is 2000. Isn't that Talita Shalim or something like that? You guys see what I'm talking about? Standing off on his right corner? She's in Congress now! Go ahead.
Strengthen our borders. It would level the playing field by holding employers accountable if they knowingly hire undocumented workers. It would modernize our legal immigration system so that we eliminate the backlog of family visas and make it easier to attract highly skilled entrepreneurs from beyond our borders. It would make sure that everybody plays by the same rules by providing a pathway to earned citizenship for those who are living in the shadows. A path that includes passing a background check and learning English and paying taxes and a penalty and getting in line behind it. Everyone trying to come here the right
Spencer,
way.
Put that in the chat because I got to capture. That's that Tlaib. Huh? How could she be standing right there behind Obama? What the
That's
hell?
Not her, Coach. That's...
What?
That is not Tlaib there in the red. That's
well, maybe it's not Tlaib. It's one of them. Hey, folks, we better wake up. Better wake up. Go to men's conferences and learn how to be better husbands and fathers. That was Promise Keepers. Hey, Tlaib, that's not her. I know who it is. I'll find it later. See you tomorrow.